Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Text number 15.
Dwari dwari grihanamja. Dadakshatapalik shubihi. Alankrita bhurna kumbhair. Balibi dupa deepakai. Dwari dwari grihanamja. Dadyakshatapalik shubihi. Alankritam purnakumbhair. Balibir dupadi pakai. Dwari dwari.
The door of each and every house.
Grihanam.
Of all the residential buildings.
Cha and dadi curd akshata
unbroken
pala
fruit
ikshubihi
sugar cane
alankritam
decorated
purnakumbhai
full water pots.
Balibihi,
along with articles for worship.
Dupa,
incense.
Deepakaihi,
with lamps and candles. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In each and every door of the residential houses, auspicious things like curd, unbroken fruits, sugar cane, and full water pots with articles for worship, incense, and candles were all displayed. Purport. The process of reception according to Vedic rites is not at all dry. The reception was made not simply by decorating the roads and streets, as above mentioned, but by worshipping the Lord with requisite ingredients like incense, lamps, flowers, sweets, fruits, and other palatable eatables according to one's capacity. All were offered to the Lord, and the remnants of the foodstuff were distributed among the gathering citizens. So it was not like a dry reception of these modern days. Each and every house was ready to receive the Lord in a similar way. And thus each and every house on the roads and streets distributed such remnants of food to the citizens, and therefore the festival was successful. Without distribution of food, no function is complete. And that is the way of Vedic culture. There are different kinds of culture. There is a culture of the spiritual world. That is culture. How people behave. But underlying how people behave is how they feel and think, which is more important. The culture is external. And some may think that culture is not important. What is important is the internal cultivation. In a higher sense, that's true. All that really matters in our life, in this material existence, is how we cultivate our consciousness. Everything external is temporary and insignificant. Our obligations to family, to country, to friends, to dependents is relative. It's not the real important factor of life. And all the things we do externally are not important, at least in comparison to the development of our consciousness. But the development of consciousness is helped by the proper behavior. Becoming Krishna conscious is facilitated by behaving like a civilized human being. But there's different ideas of civilization of culture. There is the civilization of Vaikuntha, which is what we're, or of Goloka, which is what we're seeing here. This is not a mundane city. This is transcendental culture. This is motivated by pure love, by ecstatic love for Krishna. Similar to the way it is in Vrajadham, where there isn't so much pomp and circumstance, so much opulence and fancy rituals and fancy paraphernalia in a big city for those rituals. Things are much more simple in Vraja. They don't know all the rules. You see, Vrijabhasis offer arti going counterclockwise. That's their habit. Or they'll use the wrong hand. You know, or all sorts of irregularities in their worship of the Lord. But the love is there in a greater way than it is anywhere else. Anyway, in the great city Dwarka, everything is pukka. Everything's well organized. The city is organized, and the facilities for worshiping the Lord in a grand fashion are all perfectly organized. Like clockwork, the whole city gets to work worshiping Krishna when he's coming home. Everybody runs around, decorates their houses. They decorate the streets, clean the streets and decorate them. That is transcendental culture. That is culture motivated by pure love. We have a very perverted reflection of that in material cultures on the earth and also on other planets, where the motivation is not pure love. The motivation is, in many cases, fear of the power that is controlling the state. The citizens are like slaves. Their very lives are in the hands of the government, and they can be disposed of very easily. So they do what's demanded of them out of fear, and therefore they behave nicely. We see in the great, so-called great civilizations of the earth, in all the history that we have, and the traces of prehistory going back even tens of thousands of years, but especially going back in a recorded history, every one of the civilizations was based on fear and coercion. All the great emperor of China in his palace was served by 10 or 20,000 soldiers and servants and maidservants who all bowed down to him thousands of times a day and did whatever he wanted. But it was all out of fear and coercion. That is a different standard of civilization. Externally, it looks like the same things are being done. The worship's being offered. Of course, the civilization is different. In China, they don't offer the same things they offer in India. But the activities are very similar. Worship is worship. But worship done out of fear, or done by motivated by some other material motive, like ambition. The tantric worshippers, very enthusiastically, worshippers of Shiva, Durga, who are following the tantric path, they're doing their puja very enthusiastically. The louder and the faster, the better. You know, The more ferocious the worship is, the better. But what is their motive? Their motive is they want to become all-powerful, or at least as powerful as they can, control other people. So they're worshiping Shakti or Shiva, or both, and doing their tantric puja, but for their own acquirement of power. So there's all sorts of material motives. The activities seem very similar. How the tantric worshippers do their puja and how the surrendered Vaishnavas do their puja looks hardly any different from the outside. It's the same artis are performed. The same details of ritual, almost exactly the same. Okay, they offer red flowers to Durga. They don't offer them to Vishnu. And they offer tulsi leaves to Vishnu, and they offer bale leaves, bilva leaves to Lord Shiva. But these are minor details. The basic appearance of the puja is the worship is practically the same. What we have to look at, if we're going to do a scientific study of different cultures of worship, we have to look at the consciousness behind it, underlying it, the motivation. We're interested in transcendental culture. Material culture is just a twisted reflection of the original. We want to understand the original. What is the civilization that's based on love? Based on free individuals choosing to love and serve the Supreme Lord, not being coerced by some mundane political force or driven by their own selfish ambitions. But they're serving Krishna out of pure love, whether in his original form or his appearance as Vasudev in Dwarka or his appearance as Narayan in Vaikuntha. The love is there, different versions of that love, but pure love is there. And that's the motivation. And they are doing what they're doing, making all these opulent offerings motivated by love. So that culture we want to learn. Maybe not exactly the same variety. We're following in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So our approach to worshiping Krishna should have more of a Bengali flavor than a South Indian flavor. It should be in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the way that his worshippers worship him and worship Radha Krishna. We're not worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan or of other forms of the Lord. Prabhupada was conservative about how we should do deity worship in our public temples. That we should worship not all sorts of deities of Vishnu. It's not a free-for-all. That the temple president or someone establishing a temple can pick out any deity he wants to worship. Prabhupada is very conservative about this. We worship Radha Krishna. We worship Gaur-Nitai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's different moods of worshiping Lord Chaitanya. Many worship him together with Gadadhar, Gaur Gadadhar. Many of the Babajis are in the line of Gaur Gadadhar. But in our line, following Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself was a worshiper of Gaur Gadadhar. But the Gaudiya Math and the ISKCON, established under the direction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is worshiping Radha Krishna. These are our Ishtadevas. But our public worship on the altar is the deities are Radha Krishna, but we worship them in the externally in the standard of worshiping Lakshmi Narayan. Because we are practicing devotional service. We are neophytes or Madhyama Bhaktas, most of us. And we don't have that prerequisite pure love to worship Radha Krishna spontaneously. We haven't yet, most of us, earned our actual entrance into Vraja Dham yet. Anybody can come here externally and sit on the surface of Vraja by buying a train ticket or a plane ticket and renting some place to stay or managing to stay in some ashram. But that's not real entrance into Vraja. That's permission to sit on the surface. It's a platform ticket. For 3 rupees, you can legally be on the platform. But it doesn't get you anywhere except for on the platform. So we have our platform tickets to sit on the platform and watch the trains go by. But we haven't actually earned, we haven't actually acquired our privilege to enter Vraja Dham. Not yet. We're working on that. We are practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. Even the few who may have already become perfect, they're also practicing to set an example for the others. We're following the process of sadhana bhakti, and in the sadhana bhakti process, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommended that in his temples, Radha Krishna is there, but they're worshipped as if they were Lakshmi Narayan. Worshipped in a regulated way, with opulence, and not so intimately and casually. That's our strict worship. And we don't worship just any deity you feel like worshiping. If you had pure love, you could do that. You could, you know, you have your Ishtadeva, and nobody can tell you not to worship the Lord who you love. But if we don't have love, we can't pick whimsically that I think I'm a devotee of Kapiladev, or I'm a monkey, you know, serving Hanuman, serving Ramachandra. You know, we shouldn't be whimsical and prematurely think we've retained our sarupa and we know our identity. So we worship according to the, we should be doing our worship, whether we're doing it directly or whether we're just coming every day in the temple to greet the deities and sing and chant for them, or whether we're living outside the temple and coming when we can to see the deities in the temple, or worshiping Krishna in our own house, we should follow the conservative standards and the regulated kind of worship that Prabhupada prescribed, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati just gave before him. We worship Radha Krishna, and we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially with Gaudiya Thai or with Pancha Tattva. And we worship those deities, especially that Lord Chaitanya worshipped. He worshipped Jagannath, and he worshipped Nrsingadev. So we usually don't have Lord Nrsingadev installed on the altar, but we usually have a picture or maybe a small deity. And very often we have Lord Jagannath installed on our deity, on our temples. These are the deities, these are the lords that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped. In some separate cases, Prabhupada authorized some temples to worship other deities, Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, and then I think in France, Lord Ramachandra in Mumbai and in Washington, D.C., and now other temples are worshipping these deities of Krishna Balaram and Lord Ramachandra, Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman, like in Delhi, other places. These were authorized by Prabhupada, or authorized by those who were authorized by Prabhupada to do the authorizing. And then a few temples in India were worshipping Nataji on a few altars, and also on the side of the altar sometimes. So for preaching purposes, the temples are worshipping a few other deities as sanctioned by Srila Prabhupada. But basically we worship Radha Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, usually not by himself, but either Gaudiya Thai or Pancha Tattva. And Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Lord Nrsingadev. These are our worshipable deities. We're trying to learn how to do awaken love for Krishna in our hearts. This is the business of Krishna consciousness. We do many things for that purpose. We serve our gurus, we participate in the preaching movement, we have our sadhana, we have our work, but it's all for the purpose of awakening Krishna consciousness in the heart. As he was taught directly by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the early chapters of Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the different elements of the practice of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. He lists 64 practices. And then he mentions 5 at the end that he singles out as the most important. The most important, his words are bhava jnani, for the purpose of awakening ecstatic love for Krishna in the heart. These 5 activities are the most effective. I can't remember the words exactly. Pritya, to worship the deity of Krishna with priti, with affection, with love. We're practicing to do that. We cannot fake love. If it's not there, then it's sort of pretentious and maybe hypocritical to pretend to have love when you don't have it. But we're practicing. We're trying to show some affection for Krishna, to be nice to him, and to trust him, and show him that he can trust us, to develop a personal relationship. Love has to develop. This idea of love at first sight is a romantic idea. But most of us, the first time we saw Krishna on the altar, we didn't experience full ecstasy, most of us. So rather than love at first sight, we have to learn to develop that love. And it comes from developing a personal relationship with the person that you're trying to learn how to love. Because of our material conditioning, we don't have trust. We don't have trust in anybody. And we have to learn how to trust Krishna. Just like we're so conditioned, we don't trust anybody. We've been let down so many times by so many people. Here's Krishna, another person. It's hard for us to learn to fully trust him. He's another person. And material world means that people don't trust each other because they don't deserve to be trusted. They cheat each other. They abuse one another. They neglect one another. So trust is not there because nobody's trustworthy. So the second thing, we have to learn how to trust Krishna, and we have to show him that he can trust us. This is how personal relationship is developed, on the basis of which there can be real love. Bhava Janma, the awakening of ecstatic attraction in the heart. Gratitude, confidence, trust. These are the foundations of love. Jai Shri Nimai Nitai. This Gaudiya deity was discovered in Mayapur by one Russian Mataji who was living there. She found them after the flood one year, maybe 8 years ago, discovered them in a storage room. And we don't know their origin, who put them there, and how old they are, but they're in a very old style. They don't make deities like that anymore. And by good fortune, we've got them here, and she's going to let us keep them. And we've named them Nimai Nitai, because we're studying the way Lord Chaitanya and his followers studied, the traditional way. So when he was the school teacher, Lord Chaitanya was called Nimai. So we're worshiping them as Nimai Nitai. We're practicing, especially by emphasizing these 5 most effective activities. Trying to show some love for the deity, to offer something with affection. Patram pushpam palam dayam. Yobe bhaktiya prayachati. We're going out and buying some flowers and then waving them around Krishna, putting them on his feet, hoping that we can learn how to offer that with some love. Bhaktiya prayachati. Then Krishna accepts it. Does that mean that Krishna's kicking away the flowers that we're offering when we're not offering with pure love? No, because the deity is officially installed. Prabhupada installed many deities in temples around the world. He did the installation. And he explained once that when the installation is performed, I request Krishna, "My dear sir, I admit that my disciples are very imperfect, but I'm asking you to please accept their worship." Being requested by the pure devotee, Krishna feels obliged to accept our offerings even though we don't really have much love or any real love. He accepts because the one who has love has asked him to accept our offerings. Therefore, we practice. We try to make a nice offering, to try for Krishna's pleasure. That's the first listed. To try to associate with advanced devotees. This is a relative thing. Everybody is more advanced than somebody else. No matter how unadvanced somebody is, how immature someone is, there's somebody else who's even more immature in Krishna consciousness. Everybody's more advanced than somebody, and everybody, no matter how good he is, there's somebody more advanced than him. Until you get to the one devotee who's the very best devotee of Krishna, but everybody else, there's some devotee who's better than him. So it's relative. Relatively speaking, we should find someone more advanced than ourselves and try to take advantage of that person's association. It's stipulated how we, the criterion. Snigde, Sajati Snigda, and Swatovare. I don't remember the exact words. You should just try to associate with devotees, or at least one devotee, or more, who are better than yourself, more experienced and pure in Krishna consciousness than yourself, relatively speaking. Swatovare, better than yourself. And who is Sajati, who is practicing Krishna consciousness in a similar mentality that you want to practice it in. Someone's a preacher, someone's a meditator, someone's in this rasa or that rasa. You should find someone whose style of Krishna consciousness is the kind of style that you feel comfortable with and associate with that devotee. Of course, we have all chosen to associate with Srila Prabhupada as our Shiksha Guru and the leader of our society. So he has his particular moods. We've, whether we know it or not, we've chosen to serve in his mood. If we don't feel interested in that kind of Krishna consciousness, in that preaching mood, maybe we should have chosen somebody else. I'm not saying that seriously, but if we've made the choice to work with Prabhupada, we should want to follow in his mood. Sajati doesn't mean born in the same caste. Not literally. It means having the same mood of Krishna consciousness, similar mood, similar style of Krishna consciousness. And Snigda. He should be willing to take the trouble to give you some guidance. Not everybody wants to be a spiritual master, even if he's qualified. Some don't want to take the risk or the burden, don't want to be bothered, have other things to do for Krishna. So you have to find someone who's sympathetic, who's willing to take the trouble to give you some guidance and to take care of you. That's Snigda, affectionate from the coming down, who feels some compassion for you and wants to bother to take care of you. That is the second process. to try to find such devotees to associate with and cultivate that association by service and by listening and by doing what you hear. And then Srimad, the sign has gotten ruined, but on our sign, our logo, you know, the paint is all over the sign. We'll have to make a new one. Srimad Bhagavata Artanam Aswado Rasikaiksaha. This is the motto of the school. The third process recommended as most effective is to aswada, to relish, to enjoy tasting the artas, the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavata Artanam Aswado Rasikaiksaha. With Rasika devotees, those who actually know the taste of the ecstatic loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees as revealed in the Bhagavatam. Not just those who know the shlokas, who know all the facts and figures, but those who have a taste for it. If you can find such devotees, you should relish, enjoy hearing and discussing the Bhagavatam in the company of devotees who have a real taste for it. We have many in this area of Vrajadham, throughout Vrajadham, and you find them in Delhi and other cities also. People who do Bhagavatam recital as a business. They're not rasikas. They may advertise themselves as rasikas. There may be halos on their faces the billboards, and smiles on their faces, and they've got the right mudras. But I'd like to hire somebody to go out at 2 o'clock at night and paint pig noses on them, this little snout, and put X's on their eyes. Most of these Bhagavatam reciters are hypocrites, and they should be shown to be such. They're not rasikas. They have a taste for money and for power, that's all. Not a taste for hearing and chanting in the real mood of the Bhagavatam. That's the third process. To live in Mathura Mandala, Mathura Mandala istitihi. To live in Mathura Mandala or Mayapur or an ashram that is an embassy of Vrindavan in Mayapur, and Namasankirtana is the fifth of the five, to be hearing and chanting Krishna's names, again with love. That's actual Sankirtan. These five processes are for the purpose of awakening of most effectively and quickly awakening love and attraction for Krishna in our hearts. Shraddha Durde. Even if you don't have much confidence in these processes, if you just do them, they're effective. Like a medicine that will work whether you trust it or not. If you trust enough the doctor to swallow the medicine, then it will work. If you keep it in the bottle or throw it away or never buy it, then it doesn't work. But if you take the medicine, you put it in your mouth and swallow it, it should do its work, whether you believe in it or not. It's not a question of believing in it. These five processes, you don't even have to believe in them. Just do them. He's not saying that about the other of the 64 processes, but about these five. Faith is not even required. Just do it. And that will awaken your faith. And then, when we have the opportunity to greet Krishna, as we do here in this ashram every day, we will feel some love and we'll develop that more and more. In whatever ashram we're serving in, or in a home of our own, we can greet Krishna every day and more develop love. And then we'll see, like we read about the Brijbasis this morning, about them being given the vision of Goloka. We'll see that our little temple room or our dining room in our home where we have our deities, that it's actually become Goloka. That love will awaken in our heart. If we practice enthusiastically these five activities. Hare Krishna. I'm supposed to stop at 8:35. It gives us 4 minutes. Any questions? Hare Krishna. Yes, Sanat Goswami. Well, it takes one to know one, to really know who's really Rasika. Rasika means you're tasting prima. Rasa is, when you put all the elements of prima together, you experience rasa. If you want a milk ice cream soda, you have to put all the ingredients together. Not just water, not just ice cream, not just chocolate syrup, but you have to put them all together in the proper proportions. When you put all the elements of bhavas, the different bhavas together in the right proportions, and especially the sthayi bhava is there, you actually have a connection with Krishna, a real attraction to him, then you experience rasa. But how do you know that someone is experiencing rasa? We can know for ourselves if we're experiencing rasa or not. There are symptoms. But to see in someone else's heart, unless you know what rasa is, you can't. It's hard enough to experience it for yourself, to know whether someone else is experiencing it. Only one who is tasting rasa can judge if someone else is. So we can't expect, even if there is somebody who's a real rasika, we don't have the power to identify him. What we can look for is someone who is serious about Bhagavatam, who has some attraction, real attraction to it, and is listening to it, and is well-versed in what it's talking about, has a serious interest in the Bhagavatam, is enthusiastic about it, and has a good idea of what the Bhagavatam is talking about. That's not the absolute criterion, but that's something practical we can look for. Someone who, when he's supposed to be speaking about Bhagavatam, he's speaking about Bhagavatam, not everything else. That he's, what he says doesn't disagree with what Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, in his purports, and is relevant, and is based on what Shukadeva Goswami said in the Bhagavatam, not some other ideas. That we can look for, someone who's serious and focused on the Bhagavatam. Anyway, if we're practicing Krishna consciousness in a community, then we just have to take what we get. We're told that the prasadam has been offered. The cook is, authorized cook. He's supposed to be the temple cook. And the pujari is the official temple pujari. They've cooked and offered the prasadam. The inmates of the ashram just have to trust that Krishna ate it and accepted his prasadam. So, we get a Bhagavatam class every day. We just have to accept it. That's what we get. And be happy with that. Okay. Yes. Oh, well, that's it. That's what's the value of these particular five activities. Love for Krishna is, you have it, but it's sleeping in your heart. You don't need to acquire it. It doesn't cost 20 lakhs. You don't have to worry about, where am I going to find 20 lakhs to buy prema? It doesn't cost anything. And it's not something you have to acquire. You already have it. But it's asleep. It's like Kumbhakarna, deep sleep. And nobody can wake him up. All the noise they make, they couldn't wake Kumbhakarna up. So we're making all this noise. Just like you'll hear it, when Kartik starts. All the noise. Everyone's making so much noise, apparently, about Krishna. But where's the Krishna consciousness? It's all in ignorance. So the noise won't wake you up, but these five activities will. They'll wake up the dormant love for Krishna in your heart. Just do them. Shraddha Durde. Don't worry about faith. It'll come. Do them, faith or no faith. Just do them. These five in particular work in that way. Okay? Yeah. Yes. Sorry, Gibu. Okay, why someone who's for 5 years in the temple doing all five activities and doesn't seem to be making advancement? Or he may just completely flop, he may fall down. It's usually for one of two reasons or both, that he wasn't really following the principles. He wasn't chanting 16 rounds, or he was breaking one of the or more of the four regulative principles. Or that's one basic reason, or second, he was committing aparadhas against Vaishnavas. You want to commit aparadhas against Vaishnavas, go find the place where they are. Jagai and Madai, or Ajamil, these are cases of people who were saved because for all the crimes they did, they never committed Vaishnava aparadha because they couldn't get close enough to the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas stayed out of their way, so they didn't commit Vaishnava. But when you're packed up with other Vaishnavas, there's your opportunity to commit aparadhas. Plenty of opportunity to commit Vaishnava aparadhas when you're living in an ashram surrounded by Vaishnavas, day and night. So if you take advantage of that opportunity and commit all the aparadhas you ever wanted to commit, you know, here's your opportunity, then you're in trouble. Then after 5 years of doing everything externally, you may fail completely because of that accumulated account of aparadhas. Either one or both. Not really following all the principles or committing serious aparadhas or too many aparadhas. Oh, that's another thing. Yeah, if you came with really bad karma to start with, heavy conditioning, if you were a total barbarian and practically a demon before you joined, then it may take more than 5 years. It may take 50 years. But if you keep on going, it'll work. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay, according to schedule, we should stop. We should have stopped a few minutes ago. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.